Chris Timpley. I am a researcher at Carnegie Mellon University in the Institute for Software Research. And specifically, I work in Square's lab. We are focused on quality assurance for software. So we develop tools that will automatically identify bugs in your programs, to locate where those bugs are, and even in some cases, to automatically fix those bugs for you. 2 years ago, we decided that this wasn't a hard enough problem, and that robotics also seemed like a very interesting domain to get involved in. And so we asked the question, can we transfer some of this expertise and knowledge that we have in quality assurance over to robotics? Today, I'm not going to talk about any of that, though. I'm going to start with a different story that has a very unlikely beginning, a beginning that involves a bug. Okay. So a beginning that involves a bug, but not a software bug, an actual bug, a fly. A fly in Buenos Aires, Argentina in 2017. And Onge, I'm sure you're rolling your eyes now because this fly landed on the back of Onge's head while waiting outside a restaurant and was promptly slapped by our fearless leader of Square's lab, Claire Legues, which began a conversation in this kind of cosmic alignment between Square's lab at CMU and the bizarrely named Square Group at IT University on the other side of the world. And it turned out that both of our groups were interested in answering the same kinds of questions. We're both interested in quality assurance for robotics, and specifically, we wanted to kind of understand what kinds of bugs ROS developers encounter. So we want to go from, we want to try to better understand the types of bugs that developers encounter, and by using that knowledge, we want to develop a new generation of tools and techniques that can help you to avoid those bugs in your applications. So after that event 2 years ago, at Square's lab at CMU, we got pulled into this really large project that's funded by ROSIN, the EU 2020 project, where our project, Robust, we brought together people with expertise both in software engineering and quality assurance, and in an industrial academic collaboration, we joined together with roboticists to try to understand the types of bugs that you guys are encountering when you develop your ROS applications. So out of this, the Robust or ROS bug study was born. We set out to curate and to forensically describe historical bugs that happened in popular real-world ROS repositories. So in this talk today, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we collected those bugs from various repositories in ROS. I'm going to share with you some of the common developer pitfalls that I imagine many of you have experienced when working with ROS. I'm going to provide you with some suggestions on how you can improve your ROS code today with existing technology. And then finally, I'm going to kind of provide you with some insights into the skunk works of the ROS Quality Assurance Group. And I'm going to tell you about some research techniques that we're working on that will help you build better ROS code for tomorrow. So at the start of this effort, we joined together and we looked at 8 different ROS packages over many years on GitHub. So these included things like Kabuki, Mavros, Turtlebot, etc. And we identified originally, when we submitted this talk, 188 bugs. I had to put a line through that, though, because that number has now increased to 266. So we tried to pick popular representative projects in the ROS community that represented both middleware and drivers and kind of a diversity of applications. So in order to identify those 266 bugs, we set out on a manual and, to be honest, rather tedious process of going through nearly 1,800 GitHub issues and pull requests in order to identify some of the bugs that developers had encountered when working with these repositories. So we took a very wide definition of what would be considered to be a bug here. We included both functional types of bugs, so where, for instance, the robot would do something other than what was intended. We included compilation issues, and we even included a few code smells. So we cast a really wide net here just to try to better understand the types of bugs that you guys encounter. So we produced after we identified these 266 bugs, we produced a forensic description of each of them. I'm not going to go into that. We then constructed a Docker container for each of them in order to allow other software engineering researchers and folks in this community to go and inspect these historical bugs and to learn more about what's happening, which, of course, was not very easy. In fact, we had to construct a time machine. So we tried building Docker images for ROS packages from 2012, 2013. And of course, you know, we tried to use ROS install generator to get the version of the dependencies for a particular package. But what we would get is the current versions today when I run ROS install, and we wouldn't get the output from ROS install that we would have got on the day that the bug occurred. And so our team and pretty much Heiss here developed the ROS install time machine, which essentially the ROS install generator time machine works just like ROS install generator, except you provide one additional argument in the form of a date timestamp that will allow it will then cause this to behave as if it were ROS install generator at that particular date, and will accurately reconstruct the dependencies of that package at a particular point in time. So this is something that you can use for yourself, and go and check it out. So now I'm going to talk to you about some of the kinds of bugs that ROS developers encounter based on our analysis of these bug reports. So there's a lot. There's many different types of bugs that occur, as you might imagine, and I don't possibly have time to talk about all of them today, and so I'm just going to share five of the most common developer pitfalls that we observed from looking at the data. So hands up if you have ever tried to build somebody else's ROS package, but then it's failed due to some missing dependency. A few of you, okay, great. Yeah, so this was definitely one of the most common types of bugs that we experienced going through the data. So in this case, this is an example from the Mavros repository, where, you know, there was a missing system build dependency that wasn't declared in the package XML file. And really what's happening here is that the local developer's environment is kind of becoming polluted. So you have packages installed on your local development machine, and maybe within your team everybody has those packages installed, but when you try to push that to your users or your clients, they don't necessarily have that installed, and it's very easy to make this oversight here. But it gets more complicated, because you not only have to change the package XML, you also have to change the CMake lists file. And at any one of these points here, you can forget to make a change. And so these system dependency bugs can be really, really tricky. And so fortunately, there are tools that we can bring to bear on this problem that I will talk about soon. The second kind of bug that I wanted to talk to you about is another type of dependency issue, but this time runtime dependencies. So rather than, you know, your application will build in this case, your ROS package will build, but you will then try to use ROS launch, spin up your node here. So the example on the screen is from Turtlebot. And in this issue, there is, in the bug report on GitHub, there's no image coming from the camera for some reason. And it turns out that the image processing node just suddenly crashes, And if we look into the logs and figure out what happened, it turned out that there was a missing shared object that wasn't specified within our runtime dependencies. And so this is another place where we can kind of potentially get bitten by these dependencies. And these are in many ways worse than missing static or system dependencies, because our program will build and we might think that everything's okay. And then at some point during the execution, these dependency issues will occur. So in particular, you might have some import somewhere in a local scope in Python that doesn't get touched until deep into the program, and then your client gets some unexpected failure. So these can be a very pernicious bug. Another really nasty issue that keeps on cropping up in the ROS bugs that we saw was the case of dangerous defaults, we would call it. So, you know, defaults can be both our greatest friend. They can make it really easy to operate with an API. We can provide sensible defaults to our users. They then have to write less code. They don't necessarily have to spend as much time going through the API documentation. But they also provide the potential for misuse. So an example that comes up quite a bit in the bugs that we saw was, for instance, trying to access a ROS parameter. And when you try to access that parameter, say in C++ or Python, it's very common to specify some default value. So if you try to access a given parameter with some name, if that parameter doesn't exist, then you're going to use some backup default value. And what happens, what we see very often, is that the use of defaults doesn't really get captured by the logging. The user doesn't necessarily know that a default value was used. And so the user might have, for instance, introduced a typo, and a default value gets used rather than the intended value. And it's very hard for you to figure out where that happens at runtime. So these dangerous defaults can be amongst the worst bugs to try to figure out in ROS. And again, as I mentioned, you could incorrectly specify the name of a parameter, which brings me to a really common issue in ROS, and that's the use of string identifiers. So by using, you know, strings to give the names of topics and services, parameters, it allows us to abstract away from the way in which those particular other nodes that we're interacting with are implemented. We don't necessarily need to depend on them at compile time. However, we lose a lot of benefits of type checking here. So a common problem is in topic remapping. And so this is an example from Kabuki, where there is an incorrect topic remapping due to an API evolution. So there's a renaming of the topics that occurred here in a previous build, and that's introduced a regression into the repository. So the developer tries to remap the old name of the velocity multiplexer topic to the mobile base commands velocity in order to operate with the Kabuki base. However, the name of that topic has changed, and so what happens here is that we remap from a topic that doesn't exist, so from some source to which nothing is being written, into a sync, and we don't necessarily get any error messages or log messages at runtime, and nothing is actually being sent. So the topic that we wanted to remap from is producing messages. There are messages being sent to that. In this case, command vel mux output. So the messages are being sent there, but we're failing to correctly forward those on to the mobile base commands velocity topic. And so this issue with string identifiers crops up all over the place, and in particular with remappings. So for this particular bug, the effect is that the robot actually does nothing. It doesn't move. So these multiplexer, these velocity multiplexer messages just aren't sent to the velocity topic, and so the robot just sits there doing nothing. Finally, there's also the issue of namespace confusion that comes up. And in fairness, this comes up at a very particular point in the history of the bugs that we looked at. But there seems to be a lot of confusion and issues in using namespaces correctly. So here's an example from Mavros, where the developers are trying to create a namespace for a visualization plugin. And they have some fixed frame ID parameter within that namespace. And in the original version of the code, highlighted in red at the top, the developer's trying to access this parameter from inside the namespace. But the mistake that's been made here is if we look at the viz.nh, the node handle that we've created, that's already within the namespace that we're trying to access. And so ultimately, that resolves to the global name at the top rather than the one that we want below. And so again, with the use of strings, it can be very hard for us to detect these issues. They can kind of silently occur. So now I'm going to briefly tell you some ways that you can build better software today, how you can fix some of these issues. So the first thing that you can do is you can use continuous integration. If nothing else, you can have an automated build in something like Travis or Jenkins or GitHub Actions. And simply by doing that, you're going to have a clean build environment, and you're going to be able to more easily find missing parts in your package XML file, say. And you can also use smoke tests to try to identify some of your missing runtime dependencies. And really, continuous integration is a vehicle into which you can plug other quality assurance tools to find a wider range of issues. So one of those is you can make use of linters. So to identify issues within your package XML and your CMake list file, you can use a package called catkinlint, which is really useful. If you're working in ROS2, you can now use the amentlint package, which provides you with a unified API for testing and linting your packages. And amentlint taps into many different existing static analyzers that will check your code for compliance with various standards, will find code smells, and lots of other things. You can also use sanitizers in GCC and Clang to perform safety checks on your code. This is pretty much as simple as just providing an additional CMake flag to your catkinmake. And if you're working in Python, you can make use of static type checking now. So kind of going forward with your ROS2 code, it's a great idea to start annotating that code and to make use of tools like MyPy in order to identify issues. So when we looked at the repository, when we looked at all these different bugs that we saw, roughly 1 in 12 of them was actually due to a type error. There were a lot of Python issues in there that could have been avoided by using something like MyPy. So now, finally, I'm going to tell you about some of the tools and techniques that we're working on in the lab. So at CMU, we're interested in using simulation for automated testing. And in particular, we're trying to tackle the Oracle problem. So imagine that you've designed some really great scenarios to test your robot. But now what you want to know is, given these inputs, what are the expected outputs for my robot? So if my robot performs this mission, how do I know that it did the right thing? And as I'm sure you're aware, manually specifying this can be a very difficult problem. And so at CMU, we've tried to bring techniques to bear from data science. In particular, we've translated ideas from multivariate time series clustering and anomaly detection to identify erroneous executions. Also, a quick shout out to Haros, which can avoid many of the issues that I've talked about today. So Haros can find lots of these string-related issues where you incorrectly map between topics or you use the wrong parameter name. So definitely go and check that out. And a quick shout out to Freaky Units, which is a tool that can quickly detect physical unit inconsistencies within your C++ code, and it doesn't need annotations at all. So if you try to perform physically meaningless calculations, such as summing together meters squared and meters, freaky units will find that for you, and it will scream. So if you want to know more about that, go talk to John Paul Orr over there. So thank you very much. Today I talked about our robust data set. I told you about the ROS install generator time machine that we constructed in order to replicate these bugs. I told you about five of the common types of bugs that ROS developers encounter. I provided some tips on how you can avoid these bugs today. And I gave you a brief insight into some of the research that we're doing to improve the quality of ROS going forward. Thank you for listening.